Thank you, Jonathan. One of my favorite third day songs. And it goes perfect with what I want to talk about this morning. Something we can all relate to this morning. Someone once said, I wouldn't be tempted if temptation wasn't so tempting. Sam Levinson said, lead us not into temptation. Just tell us where it is. We'll find it on our own. Flip Wilson, the comedian, he said, the devil made me do it the first time, but ever since then I've been doing it on my own. Oscar Wilde said, I can resist anything but temptation. We all deal with temptation on a daily basis. If we don't face temptation, we should probably check our pulse. You probably deal with it every single day. We're all tempted in one way, shape, or another. And I haven't talked about this for quite a long time, so I thought it'd be appropriate this morning. It seems that temptation seems to find us, often in very inopportune times. Temptations come in a variety of forms, a lot of different ways. We all have different personalities. We all have different wants, desires. We all have different situations. We all work in different places. We all live in different places. So temptation can come in a lot of different ways, shapes, and forms. So this morning I'd like to read Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you'll want to turn to it, maybe make a few notes this morning. It's a story we've heard probably many times in Sunday school. You've probably heard it a few times in sermons, but this is a story of Jesus going out to the wilderness. He's been fasting and praying for 40 days, and he's probably at the point in his fast and his prayer time. Physically, he's tired. Physically, he's worn out. But you know as well as I do, when you spend that much time with God, there is power there. And he didn't go into this 40-day fast and this 40 days of prayer to weaken himself. He is preparing himself for power, a time of power, a time of huge ministry here. So don't think for a second that when Jesus interacts with Satan here, that he is anything but powerful with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. There you go again. That word opportune. Opportune for Satan. Temptation always seems to come at an inopportune time, or when the enemy thinks that we are at our weakest, or at our low point. So this morning I want to talk about two things. Number one, overcoming temptation. It is something that every single one of us deals with it. It's one thing that God has called us to overcoming. And I know that some people deal with the same temptation day after day after day, year after year, decade after decade. And it's easy to ask yourself, why? Why do I continue to be tempted in this same area of my life? I want to talk about overcoming that, because we all every one of us has struggled with temptation. You see, unlike Oscar Wilde's quote, "I can resist anything but temptation," we can overcome temptation. God would not ask us to do something that we are not capable of doing under the power and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He sent his son Jesus to do ministry, to die on the cross for us, to seek and to save the lost, but to also show us that humanity, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, has the strength, has the power to do everything and anything that God calls us to do. And one of the things God calls us to do is to avoid and overcome temptation. Temptation to sin. Temptation to go against God's will, go against God's purpose in our life. So number one, in your bulletin there, if you want to write down under overcoming temptation, number one is refuse. If you want to write that word, refuse, to remind you all week. Refuse to be intimidated. Now, many of us, it's just easy to fall into that intimidation of the enemy and just buckle and do. Well, tomorrow will be a whole different day. I'll cave in today. God will forgive me. It'll be okay. Boy, Satan's good at what he does. He puts those lies into our hearts, puts those lies into our minds. No, God didn't ask you to cave. No, God did not ask you to be intimidated by the enemy. He asked you to refuse to be intimidated by the enemy. And why do we get scared sometimes? The enemy doesn't even hold the keys to his own house. Jesus does. Jesus holds the keys to life and death. And yet we fall and yet we cave to the enemy. We don't have to let Satan push us around. You don't have to. You don't have to listen to his voice. Jesus didn't back down when he was tempted. And if there's ever a time on Jesus' time here on earth to buckle in or to be intimidated by the enemy, this might be now in his humanity. Physically, Jesus is probably at his weakest here. He's gone without food for 40 days. He's been led. He's been tempted every day, the scripture says. Every day for 40 days, he's been tempted by the enemy to go against his Father, to go against his plan for his time here on earth. Martin Luther said, "You cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair." How true is that? You're not going to stop temptation. You're not going to stop the enemy from roaming around looking for you, especially if you have a close walk with Jesus Christ, because that will not sit well with the enemy, especially if you're bringing glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Satan doesn't care beans about you. It's not you that he wants. He wants God's glory. He wants to rob God of any glory that he can. And the way God receives glory here on earth a lot of times is through you and through the work that you do and the love that you show in the name of Jesus. And Satan wants to rob God of any of that glory. Thoughts are going to come. They will come. Those thoughts will come into your mind daily. And it can be big, what we can think of as big temptation. We like to throw those big words out there, like adultery, pornography, smoking, drinking, whatever the case. But it can just be the way we talk to people or the way we react to people. Through our anger, through our disagreement or whatever, to just let things spew out of my. Be tempted to talk to your spouse in a way that's not appealing, loving, or kind. To talk to a brother or sister in the church in a way that's not appealing, loving, or kind. Or especially the way we talk to people in the community. People we don't even know, when we're frustrated with the poor girl behind the register at Walmart, trying to do her job but struggling, and you're trying to get out of there as fast as you can, and you're just tempted to blow up. Temptation, in reality, is really a compliment to you in your Christian walk. It means that you are living for God and headed in the right direction. And Satan has a contract out on you. You need to know that. Because if Satan already had you, he would just leave you in your pit of despair. But if you find yourself daily struggling or trying to overcome this temptation or that temptation, know that Satan doesn't know, he does not like how your walk with God is going. He doesn't like to see spiritual growth. He doesn't like to see you in the Word of God, receiving grace, so receiving wisdom, receiving understanding. That does not sit well. So we have got to refuse, first and foremost, to be intimidated by the enemy. You have a much more powerful power living and breathing inside of you in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every single day. That gives us no reason to be intimidated by the enemy. You have nothing to fear. The enemy has already been defeated. He's just like a snake that's had its head chopped off. He's just going to go and snap him and try to get everything he can before he dies. He's already defeated. Do not let him. Refuse to be intimidated. Number two underneath that, write down the word recognize. Recognize your pattern of temptation and be prepared for it. You know it. God knows it. What is your pattern of temptation? What do you find yourself daily being tempted by? Because it's going to be different than your brother or sister sitting next to you in the pew. Some of you are going to be tempted to spew at the mouth with anger, rage, whatever. Some of you are going to be tempted sexually. Some of you are going to be tempted in other ways. But we're all tempted. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Man, highlight that one in the Bible. 1 Peter 5:8. Know that the enemy is roaming, looking for opportunity daily to devour you spiritually. That's a huge word, devour. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your life in Jesus Christ forever. Recognize what he looks like. Recognize when Satan's tapping on your shoulder, saying, "Go ahead, explode. Go ahead, enjoy. Go ahead, get what's coming to you. If it feels good, do it." Hear that voice and be prepared for it. Know where your weakness is and prepare that area. If your weakness is your mouth, work on it. If your weakness is your body, work on it. If your weakness is your heart and the desires of the heart, work on it. You know what your weakness is. Nobody knows it more than you and God. Because we like to hide what our weaknesses are. Figure out the patterns and the times in which you are most tempted and brace yourself for those times. We have been called to be men and women of integrity. The greatest times that you are probably tempted is when you're all by yourself. Integrity means that you are the same loving Christian in private as you are in public. And chances are, the most times you're probably tempted is when nobody else is looking. When nobody else is in your home looking at your relationship between you and your spouse, or you and your kids, or you and your coworkers, or you and that poor little girl at Walmart. Nobody's paying attention to that. And you explode. Whatever you're tempted with. Nobody's watching you eat the junk that you're not supposed to be eating at 10 o'clock at night. That's when it's easiest to fall into temptation. Jesus was tempted to turn the stones into bread because he was hungry. Satan pays attention to when you're probably going to be at your weakest. But recognize when those times are going to come. If you find yourself falling to temptation every single time you're by yourself, don't be by yourself. If you find that you fall into temptation every single time you are on the computer at home, throw the computer in the dumpster. You may make your wife mad because you threw away $2,000. But you're also going to make her happy knowing that you're not looking at what you're not supposed to be looking at 10 o'clock at night or whatever your time is of temptation. Whatever you need to do, recognize your pattern of temptation. And the last one I want to give you is the word request. Under overcoming temptation, write that word request. Request God's help every single day. I promise you, you will be tempted every single day. If you're going to be tempted every day, you need to be on your hands and knees every morning asking God for help with any form of temptation that's going to come your way today. Psalms 50 verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." Those are huge words. God promises. There's a promise from God. Psalms 50, 15. Underline it. Call upon me in your day of trouble. Call on me when you're being tempted. I will deliver you. You know the best way to overcome temptation when you're calling on the name of Jesus? Get into Scripture. If it's 10 o'clock at night and you're by yourself and that's the time you find the most tempting to do whatever you've been tempted to do, open your Word. It's awful hard to sin against God when you're sitting there reading His Word. I don't care if your temptation is overeating, not exercising, watching pornography on the internet, yelling and screaming at your wife because she hasn't done what you thought she was going to do today, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. Before you choose to give in to temptation, you open this. See what God has for you. It is awful hard, at least for me, and I hope for you, to give in to temptation when you are at the throne of God, knowing and being reminded He is watching what you're watching. He is listening to what you're listening to. And He is paying attention to what's in your heart right now. The desires, the lusts, whatever the case may be. It's kind of hard to give in to temptation when you're reminded right there, "Hi, Jesus, You've promised to always be with me. There You are." It's because of my giving in to temptation that those nails were driven into your hands. Oh, there's instruction here. It's hard to give in to temptation when you're listening to the voice of God. So request help. This is the most important thing in overcoming any kind of temptation. We cannot merely use our own willpower or courage. I promise you, it will not work. You can depend on your own willpower for any kind of temptation. You will fall. Without the power and the grace of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, the temptation is stronger than we are, but God is stronger than the temptation. You know that. We just need to be reminded of that daily. Request God's help. Jesus used the Word of God to refute His temptation. The only good thing, I don't know if you want to call it a good thing, but temptations do keep us dependent upon God. And not only request help from God, but along with requesting help, don't forget to tell Him thank you when He got you through one more day without doing it. You know, even psychiatrists will tell you, if you can change your behavior for 3 days in a row, that starts to become a habit. If you can do longer than that, it starts becoming a life change. If you can ask God for a whole week to change your behavior or change your thought in whatever's tempting you, see if week after week after week doesn't start changing into a life change. And your mouth starts to change. Your thoughts start to change. What you covet starts to change when you're spending the time with Jesus. So that's overcoming temptation. And then the second half, I want to talk about not just overcoming temptation, but actually defeating it. Actually removing, defeating, beating that temptation completely out of your life. And some of you have experienced that under the banner of Jesus. Some of you have mighty testimonies on that. Some of you are working on it right now, and I've listened to your stories. They're amazing. We may feel overpowered by temptation. This is not something we do on our own. This is with the help of God, and I want to give you, you know, four more things that we can do to help defeat temptation again with God's. You won't do any of this without God's help. So don't think you're in this by yourself. Don't go home and say, I'm going to make these changes. You got to go home and include God in this whole agreement. You got to go home, sit down with God and say, this is what I need removed from my life. This is what I need removed from my heart. I need to defeat this, and I need to defeat it under the name of Jesus. Number one, write down the word refocus. Refocus your attention on something else. If your focus is constantly on what your spouse does or does not do for you or what you think they should be, refocus on something else. Go get a new hobby other than critiquing your spouse. If your focus is on pornography or lusting after people that aren't yours, we need to refocus that attention on something else. If your temptation is anger and just making sure everybody knows your opinion and make sure that everybody knows what you're angry about, we need to refocus that attention. The Bible doesn't tell us to resist temptation. It doesn't tell us to just give in either. It tells us to defeat it. Defeat it. Dwelling on the temptation will only make it more tempting. It's all you're thinking. I have learned this with all kinds of temptations. If all you're thinking about is don't do this, and that's going to consume you just as much as doing it. It's like the little kid that's told don't look in that box. Now, how tempting is that for that little kid to look in that box? What's in that box? How big is it? Is it expensive? Is it for me? Is it for somebody else? We start asking questions, and we want to know, and we want to know, and it starts consuming. If your temptation is lack of exercise, you just can't, you're lazy, and you can't get yourself off the couch. I just throw that out there. And you're consumed with that. Today's the day I'm going to get off the couch. Today's the day. And you're focused on that. And that only, you're never going to change your lifestyle. Other than focus on how am I pleasing God versus how am I not pleasing Him? What am I going to do today to bring glory and honor to His name? And then those other things start to change in our lives. Our habits start to change. When we try to think about not thinking about it, we drive it deeper into our minds. That's probably happened to you before. You try so hard not to think about it. It seems like it's driven harder and harder into your mind to think about it. It's like trying to think you're not hungry. That just doesn't happen. You can go all day without food. All day. And just keep telling yourself, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. You can go into day two and say, I'm not hungry. Let me tell you. When the stomach starts growling, and the stomach starts hurting, and you get a little weak in the knees, you know your body's hungry. And your body's going to remind you of that every second till you put something in it. But diverting your attention is a much more effective way of dealing with temptation than just fighting it. What good does fighting do anything? If you are in a marriage where you are daily fighting, daily telling each other what's wrong with each other, has that fixed anything in your marriage in the last 20 years? If you are in a friendship or any kind of relationship where you're constantly fighting, telling each other what's wrong with each other, has it fixed anything? And the same will go with you. If you're constantly fighting your temptation, it's never going to get fixed. Never. We should occupy ourselves with godly things. Jesus focuses his attention on God by going right into Scripture, like I said before. You find yourself in a dark place. You find yourself being daily tempted. You want to defeat it. It's just like I just said in overcoming. You get into God's Word and you get into it quick. Quick. You get yourself into a Bible study with a brother or sister on a daily basis and get some accountability. Quick. You want to defeat a temptation, you get a brother or sister that you loves you, trusts you, and I've always said this, do not ask your spouse. Ask a brother or sister in the church that you trust. Share with them what your temptation is. Have them praying alongside of you. And get into a Bible study with them on a regular basis so that you are being asked daily by that brother or that sister what you thought about today's reading. How did God speak to you in what we are reading today? How did you grow? What did you learn? How did that affect how you think about things? Did anything in your worldview change? Have them ask you those questions. Keep you accountable. Boy, Satan won't like that. That's one of the only ways you're going to defeat that is by receiving the gift of a brother or sister in God and refocusing what your attention's on. Number two, reveal. Just write down the word reveal. Reveal your struggle to a godly friend or support group. Just what I was talking about. But it all starts with you got to reveal what it is. I've learned in the last 30-some years of my life, my adult life, if you try to keep something a secret, you're never going to defeat it. Ever. Ever. If you try to hide it, you're not going to defeat it. So you might as well just share with somebody. Somebody that loves you enough that will not judge you for your sin. But they will love you enough to help you out of your sin with the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to tell the whole world. You don't have to come up here on Sunday morning and share with the entire church, hey, I struggle with lust, or hey, I struggle with cheating on money. Hey, I struggle. You don't have to come in front of the whole church and do that. That's not what I'm asking you to do. But you should be able to tell someone who you trust. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. You ever been there? I have. You fall and you fall big and you know you disappointed God and nobody knows about your sin. So who on earth is there to help pick you up, dust you off, and say, let's try again tomorrow. We'll do better tomorrow. I'll walk with you tomorrow, starting today. It would appear that Jesus shared this episode with someone at some point in time. He was alone in the wilderness. We know about this story today. We didn't have to. Jesus was by himself in the wilderness. But Jesus shared this story with somebody, shared that he was tempted, shared how he got out of the temptation, how he defeated the temptation, and I guarantee you that brother that he shared that with was also strengthened and encouraged. This is why spiritual friendships and groups are so very important. I've said it before, and I'll say it probably 1,000 more times. It's important to have friends outside of the church. That's how you begin to disciple people. That's how you introduce people to Jesus Christ. Those friendships are important. But your very best friends ought to be in the church. Christian brothers and sisters who are going to love you despite any flaw that you may have, because they know that they have flaws too. And they will love you, encourage you, and grow you with the Word of God. So reveal your struggle to a godly friend or a support group. And third, resist. Write down the word resist. That's huge. What does Scripture say? Resist the devil. Resist the enemy. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and what? He will flee. That's a huge promise. Resist the devil. Not only will he leave you alone, he will flee. Why does somebody flee from anything? They're scared. like I said before, in overcoming. We like to let Satan intimidate us. Push back. Intimidate him and let him see the power of God at work in your life. Now, don't get me wrong. He is a very powerful and worthy adversary. Don't mock him. Don't get him going, because he will get going in your life. But when he's pushing and he's fighting you, you let him know what kind of power you possess in the name of Jesus. Resist him. And God says he will flee. What happened after Jesus resisted the devil? He was gone. He left Jesus. But he didn't leave him forever. What did it say? He left until another opportune time. And there was probably other opportune times, but you can see another opportune time on the cross. You know Jesus was tempted on the cross. People were yelling at him, screaming at him, and mocking him. But because of what he endured and how Satan fled from him in the past, man, was he strong on the cross for you and for me. Don't argue with the devil. Don't just stand there and let the devil punch you, because he can't make you do anything. Hear that. Satan cannot make you do anything. That's one thing that's contrary to what I believe Flip Wilson's assertion was. You know, the devil made me do it the first time. And little kids like to say, no, the devil can't make you do anything. God refuses to make you do anything. So why would he let Satan make you do anything? He can only suggest. He can only give you opportunity, but he cannot force your hand. So don't argue with him. Because I guarantee you, he is a better arguer than you are. I used to argue with the enemy all the time. You know what that arguing looks like? It starts to turn around, and you start turning scripture into what you want it to say. And Satan's been doing that from the very beginning with God's word. The more you sit there and argue with him, I guarantee you he is a better arguer than you are. And he will give you a case worthy of your attention to say why you should do or why you should give into that temptation. So don't argue with him. Don't even try to get into that match. Jesus never said, I'm not hungry. He didn't look at Satan and say, I'm not hungry. I don't need anything. Of course he was hungry. He had been without food for 40 days. But he didn't sit there and argue with God or with the devil. He simply said what the scripture says. And he resisted the devil. And the Satan finally left him alone. Last thing, realize your vulnerabilities. Some of you are more vulnerable to other sin than others. That's just human fact. What you struggle with, I can look and say, I don't want any part of that. That doesn't even tempt me. You may look at my temptations and what I struggle with and say, well, that's an easy one. Don't do it. It's easy to look at somebody and just say, don't do it. Sometimes in counseling situations, I just want to look at people and say, well, stop it. But I don't always necessarily know their vulnerability, but you do. Realize what your vulnerabilities are. No one is exempt from temptation. We all have vulnerabilities. Realize what yours are. We have to watch out for what we do, and this is important, where we go. Pay attention to where you go, especially by yourself. Recovering alcoholics are often counseled to stay away from places that promote and serve alcoholic beverages. Probably pretty smart. Whatever you're vulnerable in, you probably should. That's what I said. If you're vulnerable on the computer, throw that thing away today. If you need a computer, you can come borrow mine. And I'll sit there with you and watch what you're doing on the computer. We've got internet here. It's not good internet, but we got internet. I got a computer. If you don't have one at home, if you need to throw yours away at home, call, make appointments. You get on the computer here at church. Jesus' temptations were to use his God-given power for selfish motives. Jesus was given power by God. As much as Jesus was human, he was 100% human. Yet he possessed the power of God, just like you and I do today. We don't tap into it enough. He called on the name of God, and there was power there. You have been given the name of Jesus, and there was power in the name of Jesus. When you say his name, there is power. Jesus was tempted to use that power in an ungodly manner. He was tempted to dazzle people, to amaze people with his powers. The devil is not all-knowing. He goes back to where we were weak in the past. Folks, we are called to shore up those areas. Satan doesn't know everything. He is not an all-knowing God like God is. He looks at where you've been weak in the past, and he uses that against you. So we need to not just overcome temptation. We got to defeat it. Or you will never, ever continue on in your walk with God and grow. You may be sitting there wondering today, why am I not growing in God? Why am I no different a Christian than I was this time last year? Maybe, just maybe, you've just avoided temptation and haven't really defeated it in your life. I'll say it again. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are you battling temptation today? I want to invite you this morning to turn it over to God. And I'm not asking you to run forward up here. I mean, if you want to, believe me, the whole church will pray with you and for you. But I'm asking you to find a brother or sister to pray with you, walk with you, continue with you in your battle with temptation today. You can't do it on your own. You've got to ask for God's help. I want to leave you with one last scripture before we finish up. Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus was tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus was tempted in every way, shape, and form you are, and yet he was without sin. Guess what? It's possible. In the name of Jesus, it is possible to defeat temptation. If it wasn't so, he wouldn't ask you to do it. So this morning, that's the invitation. To know that we have power. We have power in the name of Jesus. And if you have never before taken hold of that power, have never before received the gift of grace, received the gift of forgiveness, man, today's your day. Come running forward this morning. Throw your hands in the air and tell God, I believe who you are. I believe Jesus is the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. And I want him to be Lord of my life and to remove temptation from me. And start your life anew with him. For the rest of us who have already done that publicly, who we've already been baptized in his baptism, I'm asking you today and the rest of the week, tap into the power of Jesus. Overcome your sin by defeating your sin forever. And Jesus promises the enemy he'll flee. He'll flee scared out of his mind because he came face to face with the one who already defeated him on the cross. When the enemy recognizes that power in you, he will flee. He'll move on to somebody else, and he will come back another day when he feels like you're weak. That's why it's important to tap into the power of the blood of Jesus Christ every single day. And that's what we're going to sing this morning. Pay attention to the words we're going to sing. There's power in the blood, right? That's what we're going to sing. Please stand and let's respond to the word of God this morning. Respond to the Holy Spirit and ask God, give me your power today.